Today, we're going to Ottawa's East End and talking about a very important project for the Mall 4. We wanted to speak with Eve Tremblay, who's president of the Campaign Cabinet. Hi, Eve.
Hello.
Orleans, of course, has been a community that has been really looking for a health solution out in that community for a number of years. Tell us what yourself and all those great volunteers for the Mall 4 are working on currently.
Well, we're working on a fundraising to support this health hub in Orleans. This is a project that the Mall 4 Hospital has worked on for many years, over 10 years, with all the partners to put together, and now it's under construction.
Really is exciting, and for those that have driven by, you can certainly see it being built there. What a beautiful building. Is that how you envisioned it looking, Eve?
Well, it's pretty good looking indeed. I have never seen it before. And for what they want to do, I think it's going to be a great building, of course.
And let's talk about what is going to be happening inside that building to serve the residents of Ottawa East. Walk us through the really big components of the work there.
Yeah, you know, as a cabinet chair, what I had to do is to be convinced this was a good project. And, of course, the hospital has its own board and its own foundation, and they worked on this project for a long time. So I myself, I'm not an expert of what will be done there, but essentially I can tell you that there will be many partners working with Mall 4 there. There will be CHEO will have some of its services for children. There will be the Youth Services of Ottawa working there. There will be other community members like the gerontopsychiatry, what is that in English, working there. So many, many components, including Bruyere and the Arliss or the Lynn for Champlain. So there are many components that will be there. Of course, it's a daycare. It's not a hospital. It's a set of clinics.
How important was it, Mr. Tremblay, for all of these partners to come together?
Well, for Mall 4, I think it's very important. For the healthcare system as a whole, it's very important that people work together. It's not a place where we have to have competing proposal. And I think that the fact that Mall 4 aligned itself with other components of the system is very, very good.
It really is so important to see all of those partners coming together. And when we think about, that beautiful community of Orleans and that Ottawa East neighborhood, it really has been lacking because the amount of people living in that neighborhood and that community now has grown so much.
That's right. That's right. I think we need those services delivered closer to home, so to speak.
And what will it mean for someone, let's say, that lives in the, let's say, Queenswind Heights community? What will it mean for them to have this health hub right in their backyard?
Well, it will remove some pressure on the hospital itself, because many of the surgeons, for instance, that have their work done at Mall 4 will be able to do pre-op visits at this center, and post-op as well. There will be a rehab center there, so people won't have to go to Mall 4, and Mall 4 will free up some space, some capacity for more work. So it will be less traveling for the East End people, for the Orleans patients, so to speak, and easier, less pressure on the hospital itself.
And let's talk about the Mall 4 Hospital. It's just been an incredible institution over many years. What's it been like to work on this campaign with that team at Mall 4, especially in your role as the president of the campaign cabinet?
So far, this is a new cabinet. It's a new effort. The hospital and the foundation reached out to me almost a year ago for the first time, but we decided to launch this early this year. But with the pandemic going on, as you everybody appreciates, it's been a slow start. We mm-hmm. wanted to be out there in the spring. We would have liked to be much more visible throughout the year, but we only started to do it in September, and it's kind of slow with all the constraints that we have to live with. But before I took on this task, I did meet with the management team. I did review the project itself, and I had to convince myself this was worth my effort, and that the team would be the kind of team I want to support. And by all means, they passed the bar pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I gave them my participation at the end of February. So I was very glad to see how they were working the project, how it was coming along, how it was linked to other parts of the system, which is an interest of mine, having been in the health system, at least in governance, that I want to see people working together. And sure enough, they convinced me that that's what they were doing.
Is it more important now than ever, Mr. Tremblay? You referenced the pandemic, of course. Is it more important than ever for us to be investing in these type of health situations? Of course, this Orleans Health Hub being something that's near and dear to your heart.
Yes, for sure. It won't ease. The pressure will keep building up. I mean, the capacity of the of science, so to speak, or the health system is increasing a lot. The demand is increasing. The costs are going up, and we have to keep supporting those activities. It won't go slow, easier. It will be harder and harder as we go along.
What was it like, Mr. Tremblay, to pull as well all of the different partners and campaign cabinet together? Was there a lot of interest in being part of this project?
That is before my time, but I know that for having been in such things, similar things before, it's a lot of work. Those are on the drawing table for years, in this case maybe 10 years, to get the right formula, the right understanding between the different partners and the support from the Ministry of Health. So I wasn't there, but I can easily guess this was not an easy task.
Absolutely. And we know that when you're a part of something like this, it's really important that your spouse is on board. Was your wife excited about this project as well?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. We have been supporting other causes before. And in this case, it's the first time that we go to the MOFOR for supporting them. So that was another way of doing what we do elsewhere.
And has your family ever participated at all at the MOFOR? Have they ever had to need the services and the talents of the incredible medical staff there before?
Yeah, they have. But let me tell you that I live in the West End, actually. I don't live in Orleans. So this investment or this contribution that we will bring to MOFOR is something that we give for the community at large. And so it's not because we took advantage of or were served by MOFOR that we give there. It's more like it's part of the system, and we support it as we have done for others. So I'm not from MOFOR, but the best news I have is that my last two grandchildren were born there.
Wow!
So we have four children and 15 grandchildren. So we have a fairly large family.
Wow.
And two of them were born, the last two were born at MOFOR. It so happens that my daughter-in-law doctor practices there, and that's where she gave birth.
Wow, then it does have some special meaning for you.
Yeah, it does. It has for them too. So when I told them that we were looking at potentially supporting MOFOR, that was something that they like very much. Yeah.
I can't imagine having 15 grandchildren. That's incredible.
You can imagine it's incredible. Yeah,
absolutely. And during this time, of course, in the pandemic, it's really been an opportunity for us to all think about family a lot. Has this been a time where you've really sort of looked at your family and maybe hopefully spent some time, even if it meant virtually, with them?
Well, it's been quite difficult. I mean, I can't complain. I mean, we're lucky people, but we couldn't see them as much as we would like. We kept our distance. Some of them are going to school, although they're young. We don't want to hold them arms, and it's a little bit emotionally difficult, but we do see them on FaceTime and whatnot, and we have been able to see them in person in the summer, taking all the precaution that we needed to, mostly outside and all that kind of stuff. So it's difficult to see those beautiful kids and not having a chance to play with them and whatnot.
I can imagine, absolutely. And this commitment obviously would keep you very busy. Your commitment to the Mall 4, I'm assuming, keeps you really connected to the community as well during this time.
Yes, it does.
Let's talk a little bit about, when we think about a campaign cabinet and all of the different people that would be involved in this, are you still looking for people to get involved from a donation perspective?
Oh, for sure, we are. As I mentioned before, we started a little late. We wanted to be done by the end of 2021. You can see that we've lost a fair amount of time, so we need a lot of help in getting the donors to come up to this campaign. Now, let me tell you that Mall 4, as I'm doing this work, I realize that Mall 4 is well known, but it's well known as a French hospital. So almost, I mean, the people I'm talking to that are my ex-colleagues in the high-tech community, they have a good opinion of Mall 4, but they see it as limited sometimes as, oh, it's for the French community. And that is something that the cabinet, my cabinet, is trying to change, because it's a little bit limiting to see Mall 4 as a French hospital. It's one of the community hospitals with Queensway-Carlton in Ottawa that support the Ottawa hospital that does the high-end stuff. And it's for all citizens of Ottawa. It's for, as a matter of fact, more than half the patients that get services at Mall 4 don't speak French.
Interesting.
And they don't even realize that Mall 4 is a French capable hospital. It's not a French hospital, but if you speak French and you need that kind of service in your language, Mall 4 will guarantee it.
Amazing.
That's right. Other hospitals, the Ottawa hospitals, can serve the French community in some services, but it's not guaranteed, depending on what you need, that you will be served in French. And I worked with the Ottawa hospital. I know it fairly well. And so Mall 4 is the only one, and we're lucky to have that hospital in our community, that French-speaking people can be served in their language. But if you speak English, you get served at Mall 4, and you don't even realize that it caters as well to French speaking. So
right.
I'd like the community to understand that Mall 4 is as important to them as any other hospital, whether or not you speak French, and that's a barrier that I need to break. That people have to see Mall 4 as their hospital.
We're going to come back with Yves Tremblay and talk more about the Mall 4 and, of course, his incredible generosity as well. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. We're certainly all looking for a little bit of hope right now, and we're going to be talking, continuing our conversation with Yves Tremblay, talking about the Orleans Health Hub and, of course, the Mall 4. Yves, you've made an incredible donation towards this campaign. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we have decided to contribute to this campaign at Mall 4. When I took on the chairmanship of the cabinet back in February, I involved, of course, discussions with my wife. That's a decision that she and I took, but we involve our kids as well. And before I accepted to lead that campaign, we had already decided ourselves to contribute significantly to that campaign, and we decided then to give a commitment of $1 million to the campaign.
Wow.
And we came up with that announcement only a few days ago.
It really is incredible. What's it like, Yves, to know that your gift of $1 million will impact Ottawa East residents, the Orleans Health Hub, and, of course, everybody involved with the Mall 4?
Well, we are very proud of that. Of course, when we have a chance, because that's a chance that we have, to be placed in such a position that we can help and give. We are blessed that to be able to do it, and most people that would have our means would welcome that chance. And it's a bit of a duty that we have as citizens, as member of the community, to give back if we can. And so in this case, helping more poor is something we're very proud of.
And of course, Eve, you're someone that's been involved in a lot of different projects here in Ottawa, and of course, your incredible experience in the tech sector brought a lot to this city as well. Tell us a little bit about your history.
My history is that we came in, my wife and I, in the late 70s. I came in for a job in a research center in Ottawa. And I came into the field of fiber optics, which at the time I didn't know would be so promising, but it turned out to be a very, very good field. So that's my first stroke of luck to be in that field. And then from that research center, I worked with Bell Norton Research. And from there, I started my own company with other people. And then back in 98, after 20 years in here, we sold our company to JDS Fitel at the time, and I became Senior Vice President of Operations for JDS. I was there for 3 years until the tech bubble burst in 2001, and then many of us were kind of forced out of the job slowly but surely. As the demand for our products dried out. And so I retired then in 2001, not so voluntarily, but I was lucky enough to not have to work again. And I dedicated my time, because I was still a young man, and to learn other tricks. And that's when I got into healthcare, governance, and university, and so on and so forth, and then learn about philanthropy at the time. You can guess that before I had more time, philanthropy was not something that I knew about. I knew anything about, because I was working like a dog and taking care of our four children and whatnot. So that's the short form of my path.
It really is important to note, too, that I think everybody can be a philanthropist. And your gift, of course, of $1 million for the mall for the Orleans Health Hub is incredible. But I think all of us can find our own way. And many of our listeners today may want to contribute to that campaign.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope that we convince other people to join me and my wife in supporting that campaign. Yep. I must, if I may add, when it comes to philanthropy, there are a lot of generous people out there, and many of them don't want to have their names out. They'd rather be anonymous, and I've experienced that firsthand myself, that not too many people want to be visible. And so we took that decision to be visible, because that's the way you show an example for people to copy. And if you give anonymously, as many other people do, it doesn't have the added value of showing the way.
Mm-hmm. It really is interesting. Is that something that was important to you and Sylvie, was to come forward and share this, or were you a bit shy about sharing it?
Well, we're lucky enough that we have some practice. Way back when, in 2003, for the Ottawa Hospital, where I was serving on the board, and I later became the chair of the board of governors, I helped the foundation raise a significant amount of money from a group of people who were ex-JDS Uniphase employees, and I was the project manager, so to speak, for that group, helping Joseph Strauss, that was the co-chair of the campaign. And we announced at the end of 2003, we announced a gift of $15 million.
Wow.
And at the time, the critical care wing at the hospital was named after the JDS Uniphase alumni. And so when I did that work, it was my first real big project in philanthropy. I talked to a few people, a few of my colleagues and friends, and the process of designing this major gift was a real learning experience for me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I learned is that no one wanted to be public with this. They all wanted anonymous, donation. And as a group, they agreed that as a group we can come forward. But still, there was a need for a face. There was Joseph that was chairing the big campaign, and my name also was the face of that gift. So at the time, people wished me good luck that being public or being known in the community for such a gift could cause me difficulties or whatever. Mm. And it turned out that this is almost 20 years ago, and I never had any negatives coming out of it.
Right.
So a bit surprising. I mean, I was taking a chance, but because I was already with the Ottawa Hospital Board, I was already a little bit public, so to speak, but nothing. There was no negative. And so later on, when I was in other campaigns and I helped in other ways, I did co-chair a campaign for cancer for the Ottawa Hospital in 2010, I think. I did that one, co-chair that with Roger Greenberg from Minto. And we raised $20 million in 20 months. And again, my name was out there. It didn't give me any negative either. So in both cases, having been public did not attract me any bad attention, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so this time around, when I accepted to chair this campaign for MOFO, and as you can see, I've dabbled in with other institutions, and I'm not attached to only one. I want the whole system to work.
Nice.
So when it came up and invited me, and then I had to take another role that would be visible, having done it before with no negative impact, I'm saying, okay, once more, we can do it. And hopefully this time around will be nothing but positive for the campaign and for myself.
It really is incredible. And, they say that, when you give, and, whether that be a $25 gift or $1 million gift or all the gifts that you've spoken about, they say it's really good for your own heart. Has it been good for you to give as well? Does it feel good for you to know how much you've impacted the community?
Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, it does. But again, as I mentioned before, as a citizen, we have to be I have a sense of duty coming along with it. I don't feel that I'm so generous and that's so great that I'm doing this. It's more like it's my duty to do it. Mm-hmm. So I have this philosophy that it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to all of us.
It was really interesting. You spoke, of course, that you worked with your spouse, Sylvie, on the gift, and that you also engaged your children in the decision. What was the response of your children in this gift?
That was very interesting. My children have children of their own, and some of them are old enough that we can get them involved. So I want them to share and learn about what brings you to be generous. Of course, anything that we give out while we're around, my wife and I, means less money that would be left to them later on. But not, and some people ask me, what do the your kids think about that? That never comes up. It never comes up. What comes up is that they're proud that we have a sense of duty. They're proud that to be part of it. They're in Ottawa, younger people. They have friends that are all over the city in different functions. Some of them are work at the Montfort as nurses and doctors and physios and whatnot. So for them, there was a sense of pride that their friends would actually see that or hear about it, and then they were actually in many ways more proud than we ourselves mm-hmm. were. And the other generation, the 14-year-old and 13-year-old kids that were involved, younger kids, older kids, 14 and 15, they were very happy. For them, it was a sense of pride. So for my wife and I, when we shared with them and we heard them, it was very nice. We felt very good that there is a signal for them that will stay forever.
Absolutely.
They were young kids, they learned from their grandparents that, you know, if you're lucky enough to be able to do this, you do it. And
absolutely. Beautifully said.
That's right.
We're going to come back, Eve. We've got lots to speak with you about. Of course, the MOL4 Orleans Health Hub is a very important topic for us today here on An Hour to Give. Stay with us and my conversation with Eve Tremblay. It's our pleasure today to speak about the MOL4 Hospital and, of course, the Orleans Health Hub and this incredible $1 million gift from Eve Tremblay and his wife, Sylvie. You know, the connection to healthcare is with everybody, Eve, especially during this time. Have you been watching the news closely, like all of us, of course, about those incredible healthcare workers at this time?
Yes, I have actually, and maybe too much because it does affect our mental
right.
health ourselves to be immersed into these statistics of death and pandemics. All of it, actually, I'm following it all over the world to see how other countries manage better or worse than we do. So, no, of course, I read too much about it.
We certainly know here in Ottawa that our healthcare workers have stepped up to the plate. And of course, MOL4 has definitely done that. And I have to tell you, a number of years ago, my grandma was brought to the MOL4. She had had a fall and she had dementia. And we, really were cared for so beautifully there. Not only my grandma, but of course, the whole family. It's really important, of course, for healthcare facilities to be thinking about the whole family when they're treating a patient, isn't it?
Yes, it is, for sure.
And let's talk a little bit about the opportunity for you to, you know, be a part of this campaign. And you've mentioned that you've had, of course, grandchildren born at the MOL4, and that must have been a very special time for you as well.
Yes, it was. As a matter of fact, the latest one that was born there was born while I was asked to join that effort. And so I accepted this role about 3 weeks after the last one was born.
Wow, the timing of that is really beautiful. That's incredible. It's almost like a new beginning for both of you.
Yes.
Let's talk about what the MOL4 Hospital and, of course, the Orleans Health Hub. We've touched on a few of the things that are going to be really important for that community. One of them I noted, and you had mentioned, too, about mental health. I think there's going to be some mental health, really important pieces to deal with mental health at that Orleans Health Hub as well.
Yes, there will be. As a matter of fact, if you look at MOL4 as a whole, you find that it serves delivers about 20% of the health services to the overall Ottawa area. So mostly it's Ottawa Hospital, Queensway, Carlton, and MOL4. And MOL4 is about 20%. But if you look at different services, if you look at birth, for instance, 25% of the births get to be delivered at the in hospital setting at MOL4.
Wow.
25. So that's the weight of MOL4. When it comes to psychiatric beds, I think it's one of the largest wards in Ottawa for outside of the world for psychiatric services. So it's a fairly significant, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's something like 25 or 30% of the beds are there for psychiatric services. And some, away from the hospital services will be done at the health hub, if I understand it correctly.
Really important, of course, and so many of us have thought about mental health during this pandemic and the need for that service to be right in the community of Orleans, and MOL4 to be at the forefront of all of that must make you very proud as well to be part of this campaign.
For sure. For sure.
And I noticed, yeah. Mr. Tremblay, that the campaign was called Here and Now. Why was that chosen?
Well, here, for sure. It means it's in Orleans. You don't have to move away. It's here. And now, because we've been waiting for it for a long time, I guess. So if you want to be served close to home, it'll be them that you will be able to serve. So you have to get a catchy theme, and that was, I think, the main reason for it.
And when you think about walking in that building for the first time, especially being so involved in the campaign as the president of the campaign cabinet, can you envision that already in your mind?
Well, I'm looking forward to it big times. We should be opening in the summer 2021. So right at this moment, we expect it to be in June. The project has been on schedule, if not ahead of schedule. So it's a very successful project right now. So, I sure look forward to visit that place with my wife next summer.
When we think about, that type of building, as we noted, it's going to be a beautiful building in Orleans and it's under construction now. We know what happens in that building is really important. When you think about the gift that you've made, of course, $1 million to the Orleans Health Hub and the Montfort Hospital, can you picture the people in that building that are going to have their lives changed, by walking in those doors?
Yes, and no. You know, it's a big gift, but it's nothing relative to what this whole project is. I mean, the government is putting more than $75 million in that building. The community at large will put 12, and I will put one. So it's not that important as a whole. So I think the pride comes from the committee being able to put it together, convince partners, governments to put it together. So our role is not all significant or relevant. So the whole committee needs to be feeling as proud as I am when they walk into it.
You're very humble about your incredible gift, for sure. Mr. Tremblay, if someone's listening right now and they're maybe thinking about making a gift to this campaign, what words of wisdom would you share with them?
You know, if the word of wisdom is, if you're lucky enough to be able to have the means to think about giving some money to different causes, healthcare is one of the most attractive, place to give. Of course, education, poverty, food banks, there's many, many causes. But the word is, if you are lucky enough to have the means to give, think about giving. You know, one thing is sure is that when you have wealth, you're guaranteed you'll give it away. You have no choice. You won't bring it with you on the other world. So and you have a choice to give it while you're in good health and you don't suffer from any dementia or anything like this.
Right.
It's you have to think about, okay, I'm going to give it out anyway. So who am I giving it to? Naturally, we give it to our kids. That's the way our society has been structured. But, you know, this is a decision we made way back when, not us, but, I mean, society evolved in the sense that when we die, we give it to our kids. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, is that really the only way, is that you give it to your kids? Are they going to be happier people if you give it all to them? Is that what they wish? So I think that the message that I want to resonate with people is if you have the means, you will have to give that money and think about it very hard, that who do you want to give it to and what are the results that you want to achieve in doing that. So that's the message. The other message is that in our society in Canada, governments they try to reduce income tax as much as they can. They try to give services as much as they can. And you know how it is. I mean, in this pandemic, luckily enough, we have a government that, stepped up to the plate and resolved, take a lot of debts, but solve problems that are very, very important right now. So governments know that when they support a hospital building, in any community, and especially a rich one like the big cities that we have in Canada, they count on philanthropic activities to support the project. So whenever they give money for a project, there's only a limited amount, and they always leave on the community itself to come up with the remaining monies. So in this case, the health hub in Orleans is about $87 million project. Government comes up and says, look, we're going to give you $75, but you have to provide 12.
Right.
And, you know, and when we were at the Ottawa, other hospitals, I have to say, it's the same thing. There is always a component from the committee. So the governments know that the committee or the philanthropists or whatever, the capacity of the committee has to come to be tapped to come up with their part. So not only do we have to think about giving, it's understood in our system by lowering the tax and whatnot that those that can afford it are asked to come and supplement the government's effort to fund those activities or those infrastructures. They don't ask us to fund highways, or they don't ask to fund water systems or whatnot. We pay to taxes. But right. When it comes to health and education, often there is a component that is we're counted on. So my first message is think about giving, and second is a duty we have. It's understood that it's a must that we support those projects.
So beautifully said, Yves Tremblay, of course, president of the Capital Cabinet for the incredible Orleans Health Hub, which is under construction right now and will be ready. We're hoping, like Yves said, for June of 2021. When we think about sort of the year ahead, is this a time to just galvanize more people for this project, Yves?
It sure is. I think we need to have the message out as much as possible. We started late, and the interviews like this one, for instance, is very helpful to get the community to understand and to know about the project and to make them think about, you know, what they can do to help us out.
Thank you so much to Yves Tremblay. We're going to return and speak more about the Mall 4 Orleans Health Hub. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. Really enjoying my time today speaking with Yves Tremblay from the Mall 4 Hospital. Of course, he is the Capital Campaign President for this beautiful Orleans Health Hub. Yves, what's your dream? If you can dream 10 years from now, what's your dream for philanthropy here in Ottawa, and in particularly focused, of course, on the Orleans Health Hub?
Well, my dream is that if you look 10 years from now, there are projects in the city that have started way back when, almost 20 years ago, to upgrade the system. And in particular, you know that there is the Civic Hospital that is over 100 years old, and the Ottawa Hospital is going to replace that Civic campus. Hopefully, you know, the sooner the better. But I hope that 10 years from now, they'll have it running wherever it goes, and I think it near the experimental farm. And so certainly I want that to be a world-class hospital to serve the city. Montfort should be coming along to pull its own weight. The services should move closer to home whenever possible. And so hopefully we keep pace with technology, and the capacity of the system keeps us as well served as we deserve.
I was noting that the vision for the campaign is the project to be completed in the summer of 2021, and that residents of Ottawa East, from newborns to seniors, will have access to an integrated program close to home, focused on the needs and offered in both official languages. That's a really important piece, isn't it, Yves?
Oh, that is very important. I mean, if you followed the Montfort and the restructuring of the healthcare in Ottawa in the late 90s, where Montfort was supposed to close, and of course the committee did not allow that to happen, and with a lot of support from various people, instead of closing, it started to thrive. And I'm of course French speaking to start with, and it's very important that in Ottawa, with almost 25% of the community French-speaking, if you include the East End and toward the Quebec province, it's very important that you have an institution like Montfort where you can feel at home, especially older people that are not bilingual but often not so good in English, and they are at the end of their lives in very critical care. that they get served in their language. And Ottawa can offer that, and it's very, very valuable for the French community to have access to Montfort, and that it's also a performing hospital like for anybody in town. So it's a very important institution, and we have to rally behind it whether we speak French or not.
I think another really important piece of this puzzle is that it's going to free up some hospital emergency rooms and reduce those visits to hospitals as well as wait times. And that traditional, what we might refer to as hallway medicine, that's another big benefit of the Orleans Health Hub.
Yeah, I don't know for sure about this, to be frank with you, because the emergency won't be there. Like that, this health hub won't have emergency services. It will add capacity for the hospital as a whole, but not emergency capacity. It would add rehab capacity, many different post-op and pre-op visits with doctors. But it won't help there other than freeing up capacity at Montfort.
Exactly. Yes, I think that's the whole sort of intent there, is that it would free up other emergency rooms. I think that's a really important piece. And of course, that goal of $12 million, do you have your sights set on that? Are you connecting with many members of the business community right now, which of course, we're all sort of feeling the pandemic, but is the business community wanting to sort of come to the plate and help at this time?
I think so. I mean, they hear me coming now. Like we have a bit of coverage, and thanks for this program of yours. We have to be visible and heard, and then I'll be knocking on their doors and see whether they can come up with some help. And from the feedback I get so far, because already a few people have reached out to me, already they offer help, financial help. Yep.
And the fact that you're helping, of course, newborns right through to seniors. Of course, we know, Eve, that you're a grandfather to 15, and your father is also experiencing some help right now in terms of long-term care.
Yeah, my father is 91. He's in a long-term care location north of Quebec, and he caught COVID-19. So he was sick with it, but without any symptoms, actually. So he was declared cured last Saturday.
Well, that's good news.
So, yeah, we were very happy with that. I'm the custodian there, so I'm the one that they keep in touch with on a daily basis. So for 2 weeks every day, I would have a call from doctors or nurses telling me about how my dad was doing, and he was doing great, actually. He never had any symptoms, and he suffers from dementia a little bit, so I'm told that when they told him he was cured, he raised his arms to the sky and as if he had won a battle of sorts. he was very happy. But that allows me to tell you that when we talk about the first line of defense with the healthcare workers. And often, the publicity is not so good, but I mean, they give us so much. My dad was taken care of by them. I couldn't go there. I couldn't see him. None of my brothers and sisters could go because of the conditions of this long-term care with the pandemic in the house. That these people take care of my father. They call me. They are pleasant. They are polite. They take good care of him. I mean, we have a big debt toward these people that take care of our elderly. And for them, it's natural. So I thank them every call that I got. And they say, yeah, thank you very much. But they seem to, don't mention it. It's part of the job, kind of thing. Anyway, so we're happy. So I could send a note to my family saying, my dad is now out of it. Luckily enough, he survived it.
That's really good news to hear. And, I think when we think about someone in your role, obviously prominent business person, family person, honestly, you're the perfect person to lead this campaign. Do you feel that way?
Thank you. Well, you know, I can do it. So I'm not necessarily the best or the perfect person to do it, but I can do it. Yeah.
And when you think about the Orleans Health Hub and everything that's going to bring to the Orleans community, you know, think about what that's going to be in 10 or 15 years from now. Is that something, is this a legacy, if you will, that you're hoping to leave as well?
Yeah, it's a legacy. Maybe 15 years from now, they'll expand. They'll add more services because it's now they have a large piece of land. I don't know what the plans are, not that long term. I will inquire about it in the next few months, but they will probably take that as a foothold, and they will build on it, I hope.
Absolutely, and this is a really much needed building services partnership for the residents of Orleans. Have you had any opportunities to speak with some of the residents of Orleans, knowing that this project is going to be so vital to them?
I have in an indirect way, is that we had to put a cabinet together. So I was the first one to join the cabinet back in February. And under the radar, we built that cabinet. Unfortunately, we built it with virtual meetings with Zoom and Teams and whatnot. And so I met a lot of people that we convinced to join us. And many of them are from Orleans or know about Orleans. And they joined the cabinet very happily, knowing that this was a project that was very dear to their heart and their community. And and I must say as well that on the cabinet we have English speaking, unilingual partners. We made that cabinet bilingual, and some of the Orleans people were actually unilingual English speaking members, and they were very happy about having this hub in their neighborhood.
And how do you think, have you had any conversations yet about what the government thinks of the rallying around this project as well?
Well, they supported it. So I haven't spoken to anybody from I leave it to the hospital and its management and its governance to take care. So I didn't go back to that level, but they have supported it. And I'm sure they're very happy when it's on time and on schedule and on budget. So, I assume their support is 100%.
For sure. And I often think about, you know, big projects like this, philanthropic projects like this, you really can get emotionally tied to these projects. Is there emotions behind this project for you as well?
I may not be emotional enough. I'm an engineer, you know.
That's okay. We still love you.
Can I say? No, I'm very happy to support it. But it's one of many, and we have to do it. So I don't take it so personal, actually.
It's interesting because I think I would love to be there the day you walk in that building for the first time. I think even an engineer like yourself might get a little teared up.
Yeah, maybe I'll be looking at the building structures and how it's holding together. But you know, healthcare is most fascinating. So talking to healthcare professionals about what they do, and you know, I remember one instance way back when I was at the Yarrow Hospital, I met with the what they call the MAC, the Medical Advisory Committee. And as a chair of the board, I was ex officio, so I could go to that meeting. And then when I introduced myself, I said, look, I'm the chair of the board, and you guys do miracles. And this place is a miracle-making machine. So whatever I say, if you think I'm hurting or I'm derailing the miracle-making machine, you let me know. So and so that's how I introduce myself. And when I see what the healthcare system does, it's humbling to see, you know, the technology that is there, the knowledge that is there, the emotions, the energy. I mean, it's I admire what they do. So of course I'm emotional when I see that. But I'm emotional for what they do, not so much for what I do.
Oh, you're so humble. You're in your giving, and I really have valued our time today. Yves Tremblay and his wife Sylvie giving $1 million to the Montfort Orleans Health Hub. It's an incredible gift. It's been my true honor to spend time with you today, Yves.
Well, it was mine as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And certainly a visit the Orleans Health Hub, Montfort. If you're looking for more information, check them out on the web. It's been a pleasure to chat with you here today on An Hour to Give.
Bye-bye.